The views and opinions expressed on Geeks Under the Influence are that of the panelists and not of our sponsors, Amazon.com and TeePublic. Parental discretion is advised.
GUI Nights.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of GUI Nights.
GUI Nights.
Yeah, see, I learned.
Oh, God.
I learned.
You got to pause for
Give
it.
Give the pause.
Absolutely.
Give the pause.
I'm a little excited down there.
Are you?
Yeah.
He's that's a little excited.
In my nuts.
Talk about the tongue punching again.
See, it'd be a lot better if we could get Morgan Freeman to do that. GUI Nights.
I don't know.
GUI Nights.
That would, it's almost a little too sultry for our fucking ass.
Yeah. Also, he may be a little too expensive. We can't we can't really pay him in PBR. And
you want me to whisper GUI Nights $1 million?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. We're like, oh,
GoFundMe. Yeah, let's do it.
How would that go? Like, hey guys, so you know, we really wanted Morgan Freeman to give us the intro, like two words.
That might go viral. It's like these dudes are literally just trying to get Morgan Freeman to say the name of the show.
Like two words. Yeah. And that's all we want.
We would have to pay him $50 for him to fart into the mic, let alone say words.
I would totally do a GoFundMe for that, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you get Morgan Freeman to fart into our mics?
With a fart, you need like a placard signed and authenticated saying, no, this is Morgan Freeman's fart, for anybody to believe you.
You have to witness the sign off on it.
Yeah.
Like, can we find like a
certificate of authenticity?
Yeah, and a picture of him like with his ass in the mic.
We got to get him to fart into the couch foam so that we can cut a piece out and be like, if you put your nose real close and take a deep breath, you'll be able to smell Morgan Freeman.
And any of our
Morgan
special
Freeman
guests used to get to use the Morgan Freeman mic.
Poo gas in your mouth. Oh, all right. So if you guys haven't guessed, this is the tangential side of GUI.
Clearly.
Thank you for, if you listen this long, thank you, because
we took all the shots before getting on the mic.
Yeah, seriously.
Some in the face.
Seriously.
Face, neck, and chest.
Oh, there we go.
Yes. Aha.
All right.
How Kevin Smithy of you.
You know.
So, before we get too off the fucking rails, Jesus, I'm going to talk about who's on this panel. So we got, to my right, we got the purveyor of the GUI Network, the motherfucking man, Mike the Hobbit Bickett.
Yes, the half man.
The half man.
It's
halfling, sir.
He's all heart, but half man.
I got to start using that. That's so good.
Ooh,
so good.
All half heart. Man, but all heart. Yes.
Half man, but all heart. Yes.
That's our new. That's the new GUI t-shirt. With his face,
half the man, all the heart.
Dude, we need to find. Yes. We need to somehow. You need to find an image of the animated Hobbit and then just impose your face on it. It'd be better than the Cats trailer.
No, I need to. Oh.
And the font will be that used like Lionheart with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Damn, yes.
The same font.
We gotta get him in that pose.
Yes.
Just the Van Damme pose.
For the Hobbit one, I need to be in like a nice like oversized bathrobe with like a glass of wine sitting by a fire, and it's like the Hobbit.
No, we don't need that.
Like
your little hairy thighs, they're not.
That's the calendar though. That's the calendar.
Yeah,
the calendar.
We still need to do that. The GUI calendar still needs to fucking help.
Oh, he's gonna be February with that pose. Nice silky fucking robe.
Shorter month for the shorter man.
Yes.
God damn it.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Shorter right. month for the shorter no. man.
Fuck.
I peed a little.
It's that half long. God damn it.
Hobbit's like recording over.
Yeah, like we're cutting this all out, clearly.
No, I'm not at all. I'm going to edit the show.
I don't know how. I think it would be like actually shitty to an entire group of people for me to be the representation for Black History Month. My Swedish ass would be not exactly appropriate.
I was looking at more from just Valentine's Day, but okay. Right.
If you think his feet are hairy.
All right. Next up.
Hobbit's going to stab me in the fucking eye with that very pencil that you're holding. You wouldn't stab a man with glasses, would you?
I would try.
She's got to go over the glasses. Yeah. Just over the glasses. So next to Hobbitus, we've got the purveyor of Smash Talk.
Hello.
Kyle Smash.
How's it going? I'm not at Area 51. I'm here. Yeah. In case anybody was wondering.
He's not drinking Monster. He's drinking like a water-flavored water.
Water and Mio.
Water and Mio. There you go. Yeah. Next to Kyle Smash, we have the purveyor of Geek Father.
Whoop, whoop.
We got Scotty.
Hey, y'all.
Big Daddy.
That's right.
Half Lung.
That's right.
Queequay.
That's right.
All that shit.
All of it.
He is the walrus coo-coo-coo-choo.
There you go.
Man, you got the most names out of anybody.
Yeah, you got all the good names.
I don't know how.
Because there's always something going on, dude.
And, there is. Well, and we're going to be bringing up Jane Silent Bob, so I definitely, Lunchbox has been a name as well. I even have Lunchbox on my New Jersey Devils hockey jersey.
You have a Jersey Devil hockey jersey?
Yes. Nice. I have two.
Nice.
But one is the,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know.
Because I don't know if you've heard the Overkill song where it's called Welcome to the Garden State.
Duh.
Where it says never fuck with the Jersey Devil.
Yeah.
Because you don't.
That's true.
What a lie.
Or else you get
Garden State.
Fuck you.
Or else you get elimination.
That's terrible.
But you knew what I was doing. So that's all that counts.
There was a song by Less Than Jake about New Jersey where it's like, I'm never going back again. Never going back again.
Yeah, and Overkill would have murdered them and then raped their skulls.
Yeah.
Because Overkill.
Oh, Overkill. On that note, Jay and Silent Bob.
Yeah. But, hey, so you got me. Hey, right here.
Oh, yeah. So the
I'm hosting this.
Sweet Oreo cookie you.
Oh, yeah. you can dip me in your milk, baby.
Oh, every day. All day.
Sexual chocolate chip cookie.
Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
Lactose free, too.
Our little cookie.
Fuck that. All the lactose. All the gluten, all the lactose.
We're
fuck your tummy.
Fart out all your brilliance.
Damn it. I am low down.
He's the milk chocolate to my white chocolate.
I am low down brown. And I am trying to oh my god.
You better rein this
survive
shit in, man.
This shit.
It's hard to see the swirl on the other side of me.
I do it when I need to, but right now we're all good. We're all good. We're all
good.
We are good. We're all good. And as the portly white Queequay said, we are going into some Jay and Silent Bob reboot. Last time you left us, we talked about the San Diego Comic-Con 2019. All the information, all the trailers, all the toys, all the merch, everything that got dropped over that amazing weekend, right? You were with us for all the big highlights. Now we're going to dig in some other stuff that was a highlight to us, but didn't clearly make the list of top things that were released at that panel, right? You know, it's definitely a niche for Kevin Smith stuff. It always has been. Always has been.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
The man's a genius, but only under the right people.
He runs Comic-Con. Let's not.
He does.
Who runs Comic-Con?
Kevin. Kevin runs Comic-Con. Kevin Smith runs Comic-Con.
Yeah.
You're damn right.
But, you know, we didn't get to touch on that. And
it's Matt Damon when you
I know that, you know, I got to see Jason Mewes, actually, and Scotty and his wife, Jen.
Yeah, that was our second time actually seeing
him. First time seeing him. We both went to the, made it to the Funny Bone, me and my wife, Scotty and his wife, Jen.
Yes.
And he was hilarious. He slightly brought up reboot, just a little bit.
He did.
They knew they were saving it for this, right?
Yeah, because that was a few months ago at this point.
That was 3 months,
I mean, filming was definitely done. I think there was even, I would say the way Kevin works is that there was probably editing still happening, but they were definitely waiting for San Diego to, of course, for the big release.
Yeah, exactly. And they did that trailer. I mean, it just looks like fucking stupid fun. I mean, god damn it. Well, it looks hilarious.
Can we say Ben Affleck? Just
right?
Ben Affleck. Ben Affleck's
after back.
10
Holden.
Years of being estranged,
Holden
McNeil's coming back in an apparently an amazing scene with him, Joey Lauren Adams, anyone from Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if, actually, that's following up on what you were talking about, as I read Kevin Smith's conversation about how that started.
Yeah.
Is basically, Affleck was asked in an interview, like right off the bat, it's like, you know, there's a Jay and Silent Bob reboot thing. Has Kevin reached out to you about doing the thing? And he's like, nope, but, you know, I'd love to do it, or something along those lines.
Yeah.
And Kevin was like, nah, he was just saying that to be polite on the thing. He didn't really mean it. And he was getting kind of pushed by his wife and like some other folks, like, dude, just reach out. What's the worst that can happen? And he's like, okay, you know what? Fuck it. Let me try it. And reached out. He's like, yeah, no, I meant it. Like, yeah, let's fucking do this.
Yeah.
And they kind of buried hatchets. And like, he has a picture of him with Ben Affleck. Like, I got my friend back.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
They're in good terms again. And I'm like, you know, being such a fan and hearing him talk about how he kind of misses Ben, you know, his buddy.
Sure.
I'm like, my heart was so warmed by that. It
absolutely.
So nice.
Absolutely.
Well, I think I read that he sent the text and then ended off with a quote. Right. Something about being king, and of course, and I can't remember the quote, but Ben Affleck had responded. His only response back was, "Of course you still, of course you think of your still think of yourself as a king," and he laughed because it was Ben Affleck giving him shit, which is what friends do: is they give each other endless amounts of shit, but they know it's coming from a loving place.
Yeah,
and that one thing that he said back to Kevin Smith was just like encompassed everything. It was like, "We're good. Let's do this."
And honestly, let's think about where the careers went. I mean, obviously, Kevin kept creating awesome movies after his, Chasing Amy. And Dogma, where is really the last one. He had a small scene in the first Jay and Silent Bob. Very small scene. Right. Cameo, almost. Yeah. But after that, I mean, look at Ben Affleck, man. He went to The Town. He went to do Argo. He started he directed these amazing Oscar-worthy movies, right? So he's definitely, then he was the best part of the DC shit show that we know and hate.
Well, Ben got back on his own thing from what he started with Matt Damon with Good Will Hunting, like the writing, you said, the writing, directing. You know, he started doing other movies for other people, you know, and
Reindeer
then
games.
Reindeer Games. Well, motherfucker was bombing Phantoms, yo.
He was the bombing Phantoms.
The book was still better.
Damn right, but still.
I actually watched Phantoms like maybe 2 or 3 months ago.
So did I.
Yeah.
It's a solid movie.
It is a good movie, especially for
the 90s.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Like, but Ben Affleck went and did his own thing because, you know, they got their start. They helped each other out until he went. And unfortunately, it's Hollywood politics, which is the worst part about it. It wasn't even like I hate you because you blah, blah, blah. It was way more Hollywood politics.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can squash that shit and remember what you guys did with each other, the same way what we do, I'll relate it right here to us motherfuckers, you know, for what we do. I hope none of us ever split off, but we also don't have to deal with Hollywood.
No.
Thankfully.
No, actually, I think we were all planning to go get GUI tattoos. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean,
fuck you.
I'm probably going to get a GUI tattoo.
Look, I'm down for getting a matching tattoo with you guys.
Aww.
I really am. Like,
done.
This has been one of the greatest experiences of my life to do this with you guys. It really has.
I mean, that fair.
If nothing ever happens tomorrow moving forward, I will always have this.
That is true.
True.
That is true.
And that's what I appreciate about the Jay and Silent Bob is... That's what he revolves. That entire script has to be revolved around that. Mm-hmm. Was those greatest times in his life with the people that he met, the friends that he made, and bringing them all back as a fucking all of your, you know, face, neck, and chest as like, we love you all.
And, you know, this one really played on what we have. We had a small little taste of in the original Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back. The look on their face when they would come across certain stars or certain, you know, pop culture phenomenon actors, right? Where you had, like, I think, like, two in the first one where you see Bob over, like, that is awesome, like, in his face, right? Because he didn't talk, obviously.
Yeah.
But then, like, in just the trailer alone, I think he did it, like, 5 times because Kevin Smith his dick just came out, like, wham-bam, be my movie, bitch.
Right.
And he has some amazing people coming back for this.
Well, and I think that's the great thing why... So many of us love Kevin Smith and let me start saying what Jason Mewes does, because Jason Mewes has really gone out on his own as well. Like we were saying, we saw him live with doing his, I call it like basically a spoken word type tour.
Is
really one of the closest ways to relate it. Funny stories and everything, but he has, and I'll even relate it to fucking Avail. They keep it fucking real. They don't have the rock star attitudes. They have friends. It's not employees. It's not you know, business gets done, but at the end of the day, you're a team, you're a family, you work together. And Kevin, Jay, all of them have always kept that mentality. And that's why the man may never have a big, huge blockbuster movie, summer movie, whatever, but he will have movies that people will buy hand over fist for.
Yep, you're damn right.
Yeah. On that note, George Carlin, Carrie Fisher. Those are the two that he had in and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
That we're not going to get.
That we're not going to get, obviously. And I guarantee you, and this is my prediction, that he will have something, anything in there to honor them. Whether it's the Book of the Road or something, the code. You know what I mean? It's some reference he's going to have. And bringing them back, that's going to be sad that they can't come back, obviously, because of life. You know, absence of life.
The cycle.
The cycle,
they all die.
Now, there's no word on whether or not Mark Hamill is actually in the movie, but because this is the basic plot, if you've seen the trailers, that they're rebooting Blunt Man and Chronic movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so there's a new director, new actors and stuff in it, so it wouldn't be Mark Hamill reprising the role because it's a reboot.
Correct.
But the character of, whatever, the fist guy than
Cock Knocker.
Yeah. The Cock Knocker character is actually going to be played by Melissa Benoit.
Yes.
No, she's Blunt Man.
She's Blunt Man. She's going to be Blunt Woman.
That's what it is. Yeah. But so
no, she's, Chronic. She's wearing the white suit. No, Kevin was Blunt Man and Jay was Chronic.
Did I say that back? If I said that backwards, that was my fault.
Jay had the chronic suit, so she's playing the chronic character. I wonder who's playing Blunt Man.
Val Kilmer.
Oh, yes.
You didn't see that in the trailer?
Yes.
That was Val Kilmer. Yeah. Well, he just looks so bad. I didn't realize it was fucking Val Kilmer. Again, the man looks like a trash can. I'm sorry. He does not look well.
He does not look well. I love so much of the shit that Val Kilmer has done.
He just doesn't. His health. He just has bad health.
He does.
That's all it is.
He does.
Poor health, man.
So hopefully. Let's give it to Val Kilmer. Maybe this will be something that'll give him a little something extra. He can do a good movie to help retire, maybe?
Something.
I don't know.
You're right.
He's got Top Gun, the new Top Gun, too.
Well, we don't... Is he actually in that?
I'm pretty sure he's in that.
Okay.
He's reprising the role.
He's going to be this, like, angry, retired...
As Iceman.
Boozy. Well, duh.
Really? Yeah. Who else the fuck? Who else would he be?
Well, I was trying to remember his name.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. You have Iceman. You have Maverick. And...
He cometh.
Goose, just threw it. Iceman.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. But no,
son of a bitch.
I'm excited to see her in something outside of Supergirl. Glee.
Oh, was she really in Glee?
That's where she got started.
Yeah. I never.
That's why she did the musical episode with Grant Gustin. He was in Glee too.
I'm excited to see her in anything. Not only is she absolutely stunningly beautiful, she's
gorgeous.
She's adorably cute.
Mm-hmm. She is.
But she's smart as a fucking whip. If you ever seen her interview, she is on her shit.
Nice.
I was going to say between her interviews and I'll just say where she stands on politics and what she will do. You want to talk about a balls out fucking strong person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
bad, that woman's got it.
But when you've got that mindset and that grit, and then you've also got how phenomenally gorgeous she is. I mean, you can literally take over the fucking world if you wanted to.
No doubt,
because you've got that grit to do it.
Yep.
Right, and that's really what it comes down to. You could be a beautiful person all day outside, and you could be a nice person inside. But when you've got the deep down grit where you're like put in the work, mm-hmm. that's a whole other thing.
And talented, thing. Period. Talented.
Yeah, talented. Well,
she she can fly, so
right.
That's also.
I mean, she can fly into my room any night. Just saying. Fuck.
She can. Yes, as long as.
Ditto. That's all I'll say.
I want to bring up also that they're bring. I mean, of course, he's going to bring back as many people as possible. Obviously, you saw there's a slight cut of Matt Damon in his uniform from Dogma.
Yes,
in there, and
he's kind of pudgy.
And there's also Boo Boo Kitty Fuck.
Yes,
Jay's fucking love child played by Kevin Smith's daughter,
Harley Quinn Smith.
I will cut you in the street.
I will cut you.
Yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah,
my own fucking lawn.
And I did want to make sure that. To always give props, I guess, to the way Harley Quinn has come up as well. She, in her own right, I mean, you can always say, like, the child of someone famous or semi-famous, whatever it may be. She's honestly made her own chops when it comes to this. She plays in a little pop band that she totally does on her own. She's never relied on, at least as far as I know, relied on her father's fame.
Status.
To promote it. Like, I mean, he promotes the shit out of her.
Sure.
But that's his, as a father. Yeah, exactly. Which I could
be a pretty
totally
shitty father if you didn't.
But
yeah, right.
But her actual first acting, besides just being thrown in one of his movies when she was a child or whatever, is totally not even a Kevin Smith movie.
Because she played baby, was it Jay or Bob?
Oh, she played Bob.
Okay.
Baby
Bob. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Baby Bob, yeah.
Because look at her as a child.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She, yeah, you can, the resemblance is there, shall we say.
Now I say she's definitely leaning more towards Mama.
Yeah, aiming to that.
Oh, absolutely.
Leaning a lot towards Mama.
I'm sure Kev's not mad about it.
Oh, he's very happy about that as well, I'm sure. Oh,
like, yes. Worked out better for her.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm sure he was coming all over the place.
Like, I know we saw the trailer, but like, I'm just waiting for the on screen and then just hearing Snooty Boochies, I'm just going to lose my goddamn shit.
Absolutely.
Fuck, yes, man. Dude. And you know, they've had their own standalone movies. They are not my favorite characters out of Kevin Smith's universe, the Viewaskew universe or whatever. You know, you
right, right. Yeah.
But I love them for what they are. But they're not my favorite thing about them. They're just the ones that were able to take it and go to the next level and do something outside of the whole ensemble cast they have, like
away from the Quick Stop and all that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which that whole scene, them coming out of the closed down Quick Stop on like an abandoned road now, like apparently that's all cleared across from the Quick Stop.
That's because he openly admitted that the that's not the actual Quick Stop.
No, they did it.
They filmed it down in Louisiana.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the original Quick Stop closed, right?
No.
It was still open? Why couldn't they get that?
I think they needed more because the actual road that the Quick Stop is on, like, it's not big. It's not a big area at all.
It was fine for black and white camera, you know, a couple of black and white cameras, right. But not for a production.
It was in Strikes Back. It was the original Quick Stop in Strikes
Back.
Yeah,
but they only used the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then they turned it down.
But what you don't understand is that literally you have a very narrow standard two-way road right in front of it, and there's apartment buildings.
Yeah.
There's stuff across the other street. The parking lot, they're filming from across the street and zoom in just enough to cut out the road. The parking lot, you barely fit a car, like a row of like five cars right in front of the Quick Stop.
Mm.
It's not a big area at all. So okay. for the type of scene that they were showing for the trailer, it was filmed somewhere else.
With them coming to get raided, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, if you look in the fucking trailer, they're the beginning of the trailer, they're coming out of the, which was the movie store. In the original Clerks.
RST.
RST, yeah. They weren't coming out of the Quick.
But they were coming out of
Cox. Now, RST closed.
Yeah, RST
closed. The video store closed.
Oh,
the
Quick Stop was still
up. Yeah, that's not a surprise at all.
But they're busting out of the store called Cock Smoker, which I'm pretty sure in Clerks, when they knock on the door to Jay to get Randall to come out, and they have the sign around the door, because they were fucking with him, and they knock on the door, he runs out, he opens the door through the glass, and they've got Cock Smoker written around it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they did it for.
Nice.
It's fucking beautiful.
Oh, you know,
when
it's
I saw
full.
That shit, it was amazing.
Because, I mean, when Strikes Back came out, it was full of just nothing but inside jokes.
Oh, yeah.
So you know that this one's going to have just even more.
But if you go back and watch Clerks, that's that scene where he knocks on the door to get Randall to come out because they've been fucking with him the whole time. And he comes out and he walks out and the sign is pointing to him that says Cocksmoker. And this is funny that they named the old movie store Cocksmoker, and that's the first thing you see in the fucking preview.
Yeah.
It's genius.
No, I mean, he's always been good with that. Even Dogma had a bunch of inside. I mean, they've all had a bunch of inside jokes.
Yeah.
Right. But that was one big thing that came out of this past weekend. Well, when you're hearing it a couple weeks ago, I really wanted to make sure we touched on. The other thing being that we kind of glossed over it on the episode for what DC stuff's happening. But the Arrowverse, and it's called the Arrowverse for a reason. That's the one that started. But Arrow's coming to an end. They've got like 10 episodes this season, and it's going to end with the final episode of Crisis on Infinite Earth, which I'm so fucking stoked for.
Oh my, yeah, no, yeah. I've got all the baby batteries built up in my balls right now. I'm ready to eject that shit out.
It's one of the greatest DC arcs. You've got like Flashpoint, Crisis on Infinite
Earth.
It
is their great. Yeah, it's their start over, but the start over. Prior to the start over, because the start over, you know, wasn't that great after Crisis on Infinite Earths. But that storyline is the DC equivalent to, Infinity War.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah.
And so that the fact that they're doing that, it's going to be so big. It will be the end of Arrow, which probably should have happened a season or two ago, if you ask me.
Like season two?
No.
I think season... They had a rough season there, just like anyone does within a 5 or 6
they
years.
They had a rough season,
but they really brought it back hard.
Yeah.
And they did a great job. Now, this last season was good-ish. They could have just ended it off there. I'm glad they are ending it off so that they don't sully the name of the show. By putting out a bunch of shit and shit seasons just to do it.
Season 8?
Season 8 now.
It's coming out? Yeah.
Yeah. Season 7, I think they probably should have stopped at. But,
they couldn't go out with Elseworld with Arrow. They had to go out with Crisis. I mean, that's what, don't go after Crisis. Don't go after the Crisis crossover.
Also, think about, we're in a world where a Green Arrow TV series lasted 8 seasons.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Right.
And 5 or 6 out of those seasons were... immensely good.
Yeah.
And well written.
And so we got Flash going into season 6.
Yeah. What's they're going to do? Red Death. Which should be really interesting because it's Mohinder Suresh from Heroes.
Yeah. That's right.
Oh, that's right.
It's Mohinder Suresh from Heroes.
I am bummed about Cisco, though.
That's what that motherfucker's
doing. I am bummed about Cisco, though.
Cisco's leaving.
No Cisco. Yeah. He's going back to Broadway.
Done.
Going
yeah.
to Broadway.
Mm, and he's like my favorite character.
There's no one to replace that heart that he has in that show.
No.
No, he's the innocent child. sort of feeling, you know, those things that you loved as a kid, and he brings all that to the he brings the pop culture references to the forefront, and that helps connect you to the show in a different way, like I'll a childlike way.
The next time I hear somebody try to come up with a fucking villain name, I'm gonna reach through my TV and punch them, because no, that's fucking Cisco's job. You stop it.
You're not allowed.
Wouldn't it be great though if, like, during the episodes where they had to come up with the name, they actually just fucking dial him and be like, "Listen, I know you're done, but we need a good name for this motherfucker."
That would be brilliant.
And just do that, like, every other episode they have a villain they need to name. He's the one that gets to name him. He sends an email. I saw this shit on TV. Here's the name.
If they find a way to tie it in like that, yes, that could be a thing that always happens.
And Brandon Routh is actually going to be playing.
Yeah, I know.
Yes, and I said it.
Superman.
And I said it about Superman.
Superman!
That I was hoping he wasn't going to do the carbon copy Christopher Reeve version they did in Superman Returns. Thank you for the doll, by the way.
Yeah.
Anybody who saw that string of comments, Mr. Hobbit is the one that gave me the fucking Superman Returns doll.
Because I knew how much you would cherish it.
Yeah.
Your Superman Returns action figure.
I did.
You love that movie for some reason.
No, I don't. But I do love Superman, so I think
Superman.
I just thought he had very evil intentions behind it.
Absolutely did. Yeah.
It was malicious intent.
Now, you know one of the reasons why I love Superman that got introduced on Supergirl is because clearly they're trying to do their own Superman to kind of make a standalone of...
They did it right.
Oh, he's awesome. Standalone from Henry Cavill, and then obviously that atrocity of Superman Returns. Bleh. And then obviously Christopher Reeves, who for all intents and purposes is like the embodiment of Superman.
He will forever be the embodiment of Superman, in my opinion.
Exactly. Like, when I think inside Superman, I still think
outside
of him.
Of the movies.
The thing is, like, they tried to get him to directly mimic Christopher Reeve Superman, maybe the actor has some ideas that they need to listen to about what to do to separate it. But the big reason why I think I love the new one so much was because he did the Clark Kent part as Superman. He didn't change his part to be Superman and do it from the right to left.
He wasn't uber serious and then the goofy.
Well, think about
he
it.
He did it as
Clark
a combined
Kent
thing.
Did left to right,
yeah,
as Christopher Reeve, and then right to left Superman,
yeah.
And Brandon Routh did the same thing. This guy, he's like, nope, man, fuck it, going from the left.
It's all about how you part your hair, apparently.
Yeah.
It kind of is.
Well, you know, they're doing the Superman is going to be based on the old man Superman.
Okay.
From Crisis. Okay. So they're doing the old man Superman. See, originally I thought they would do a role reversal, you know, like they did with Flash becoming Arrow and Arrow becoming Flash when the monitor stepped in and reality got all fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to do just old man Superman. He does such an amazing job on Legends of Tomorrow playing that goofy,
playing Adam,
good-hearted pop culture nutcase, you know, pops out all the pop culture references to go from like gritty, kind of bitter old man Superman is going to be pretty cool to see how that
goes. Test his acting chops, that's for damn sure.
Yeah.
Because
well, he was sucking somebody's dick at the CW to get that part.
Let's face it, man.
They didn't just come up with that. He's like, please let me fucking suck your dick.
He was sucking C's dick or W's dick, one of them.
Yeah. Like,
or both.
He sucked like Berlanti.
Double handing. Yeah.
Oh, he was totally, I mean, he went all the way to the balls with Berlanti. You know he did.
Soup's kake.
But no, I mean.
Soup cock.
We can't get just an old version of the Superman he gave us in Superman Returns. That would be bullshit.
Oh, yeah. Well, nobody would watch it. And if they did, they'd be like, oh, that's cute. And then they would change the channel.
Yeah. I don't want to see Adam as a grayed out Superman. It's fucking dumb. But anyway, those are some of the big things that we kind of wanted to tap onto.
I did want to mention that Doom Patrol Season 2 has been announced, that they're doing Season 2. I actually really do enjoy that series.
It's a great show.
And it will not only be available on the DC app,
mm-hmm.
or the DC app, but also it will be available on the HBO streaming service as well.
Is the first season on HBO?
I don't know.
It hasn't been up to this point, but no. I need to dig deeper and see if they're probably going to add season one.
I haven't watched it yet.
Let's help bring Brendan Fraser back to the fucking limelight, shall we?
He looks rough in that show, though.
He does look rough, but he's still an awesome actor.
Hey, he signed his own fate when he did the fucking Mummy movies, okay? Fuck, I have no sympathy.
I have no problem with the first Mummy movie.
Oh, fuck you.
I love it.
I know him best as the main character in Blast from the Past. And Monkey Bone.
Don't forget about his greater movies like School Ties, which is one of Matt Damon's first
School
movies.
Ties is good.
Or we haven't seen Old Man.
Encino Man is a great comedy.
Oh yeah,
it is. No, it is. I just rewatched it like last year. It's fucking hilarious.
Especially when he's drawing the caveman on the board, no, and he pulls his
with
he draws, his, he draws his penis. Let's not. I'm gonna
with
fucking
honors.
Though not nearly
cry.
As good. As
that's we'll a whole. Yeah. That's a whole
the,
different. That's
one of the greatest
episode.
Comedies of all time that he was in.
Don't even say it.
Fucking Airheads.
Oh yes. Yeah. I thought you were going to say Bedazzled and be a dick.
Oh, Bedazzled, no.
No, Airheads, fuck yeah.
And he actually outshined Buscemi in that movie. Like, well, Buscemi was great.
I think he was supposed to, though.
Well, but that doesn't happen with Buscemi often.
No, Buscemi's an awesome side character when he's written to be a side character. Look at all the Adam Sandler movies. He's an awesome side
but
character.
But he's usually the best one.
That's true.
You know, he outshines even the stars.
Yes, that's true. All right, guys.
My balls tickle.
So we, Kyle's balls are tickling. I think mine are chafing.
Let's go punch some drywall.
There's been a lot of like coming in my pants, and I think all the heat is kind of like making it kind of feel
uncomfortable.
I'm
still dehydrated from yesterday.
Yeah,
and
it's just not
the,
good.
All the coming.
Yeah, all the coming.
I'm glad Hobbit's going to get rid of this couch. I'm pretty sure he's.
Yeah. Oh, well, you don't know what happened on the couch before we got it. Anyway, yeah, so that's all I got for you. Good night. Go home.
GUI Nights.
GUIPodcast.com.
Do you enjoy stories about drunk men on tractors, T-boning a police car, or someone jumping a gorge in a Nissan Versa, or literally any story that comes out of Florida? Then you're going to love Booze Clues, the latest podcast on the Geeks Under the Influence Network. We do this show live every month in the Dark Room in Richmond, Virginia. It is a cavalcade of comedians, podcasters, performers in an investigation or riff on drunken crimes and debaucherous activity around the world. Doors are at 7, show starts at 8. It's 21 up and free. Again, that's at the Dark Room, 2818 West Broad Street in the upstairs suite. For more information, go to GUIPodcast.com.
This is Mike the Hobbit, direct from Fallout on a trivia night, telling you to come here every first and third Monday for trivia between 8 and 10, 25-cent wings, drink specials, prizes, and tons of really inappropriate trivia. It's a lot of fun. Do you guys agree? Definitely come out and enjoy trivia every first and third Monday at Fallout.